and Colombia. We got the army down there. We've got everything. We got the CIA. Well, that's it. You see, folks, you got to get hold of Deep Cover. Go to the chapter that says the Palace of Suits. Get it in the library and Xerox it and send it to your congressional leaders, because you know what? You know, the CIA is in bed with the guys dealing the drugs. The army's fighting the guys that aren't. And here we go. History repeats itself. So please don't let these clowns, these political leaders with no cojones who don't care about your children or your money, don't let them do this to you.
Let
them know that you know. Yeah, let them know you know. And like I said, get a hold of Deep Cover. It's available again. Or go to the library, Xerox Palace of Suits, the chapter, and you will see for yourself. Send it to your elected leaders and say, how can you support this? This man is a DEA agent who has never lost a case in his career. He's telling you what the real truth is behind the scenes. Okay, mi gente? Anyway, hasta la próxima, mi gente. Christina, you want to say something in Haitian?
Bonsoir, tout le monde.
Bonsoir, tout le monde. Bonsoir, tout le monde. Ciao, hasta luego, mi gente. Hasta la semana que viene. La semana que viene. Ciao.
See how relaxed you're getting?
You're tuned to Hi-Fi, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial, New York.
Did you break the whole radio station while I was away, Isaac?
I didn't touch
nothing.
Thing.
Works around
you,
here.
You got to bring
not
the pot up.
Not a single thing. The pot is up. Look, do you see that? The pot is up.
Now it is.
It was up before.
Okay.
But it doesn't work.
Well, I got some other bad news for you.
You forgot the theme.
I forgot.
You
the
forgot
theme.
The theme. The whole studio is broken. There's no air conditioning. Everything I've tried to do so far, and I haven't gotten on the air yet, does not work. All right. Now, what substitute are we going to have for the theme?
I don't know. There's a drum roll on the back there that I can get for you. If you just want to do a drum roll.
No, that's okay. It's all right. How about this? I've got some music here that I'm going to put on.
Okay, that'll work.
But, you know, it kind of sort of takes the whole impact out of the show when I don't have the intro, you know?
I'm sorry.
Program's off the hook. Is Emmanuel Goldstein back with you after, 6 weeks of being away?
5 or 6 weeks, yeah.
Oh, boy.
How was your trip?
It was a lot smoother than this, I'll say that.
You want to do the
a lot less then? Hot too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty good. It's pretty good. And I'll talk more about that in the moments ahead. I'm sure you'll have things to tell us as well, and we'll be taking listener phone calls. And I understand begging for money as well, as I was just told now after my show begins.
Yes.
That we're in the middle of a pledge drive.
We are.
Communication
indeed.
Channels are wide open here. Okay, wonderful. All right. Well, as you know, I was away for a good number of weeks. At the HAL convention, Hackers at Large, also traveling around throughout other parts of Europe. We brought you shows from Amsterdam, Paris, HAL, Norway, Gutenberg, Sweden, among other places. Actually, I think we were in Amsterdam twice or something. But
yeah. Well, you were on a train going to Amsterdam the second time.
We were on a train, and it was kind of hectic and crazy. But we got off the train, stayed at the station, and that was the last show. And then I had a real hell ride coming back here. I'll tell you all about that in a couple of minutes. But I'd like to start the show, now that the theme is over, with...
I'm sorry!
Yeah. You will be sorry.
I brought it diligently every week, uh-huh. And then I'm walking out the door this morning, and I say, oh, Emmanuel's there, Emmanuel's back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walked out the door, thinking that you had the theme. Of course, you don't, because I was in possession of it, and I didn't hand it back to you, but...
Okay, now we know how it happened.
Okay. Well, I'm...
But it doesn't undo it.
You will have your theme next week.
We'll talk later.
We can play it twice.
We'll talk later.
Okay.
Okay, while we were all at Hackers at Large, someone who was on the show a couple of times, Autojack, brought a CD that he had made just for the conference.
Really?
Well, he had worked on it so that it would be released at the conference. I don't think he created the whole thing just for the people at the conference. He's a musician, as you know, and he determined that he was going to release this CD at the conference, which he did. Handed out to quite a few people, and it got played over the PA system to a very positive response.
Very cool.
Yeah, of course, what happened was he wound up having somebody press the CD for him, and they got the songs all in the wrong order, which is particularly bad because it's supposed to flow in a particular order. That doesn't mean anything to us because we're not playing the whole thing, we're just playing one song, but it just shows you the frustration of putting out something like that when you work really hard and somebody else messes it up, you know? Yeah,
okay.
No, that was a point.
Okay,
reference.
I get it. I see.
But anyway, I'd like to start with this this track. It's from the forthcoming film, which has not yet been created, and the track is called "Spread." And give it a listen. After that, we'll be right back with "Off the Hook." You really think this is going to work?
I think it'll work.
Okay, wait. That's not CD one. That's CD two.
CD two.
That would have been my mistake. All right. Here we go.
Spread the disease. And, of course, that's the sound of AutoJack. Oh, wait a minute.
I don't have to do that anymore. I'm so used to talking on the phone that I just naturally pick it up and... Wow. Yeah, that was sound of AutoJack, which...
You're in front of a much bigger microphone.
Much bigger, yeah. I forgot what this thing is for. But, you know, I've been using this phone every single week, practically.
It's been working?
It's been working fine. In fact, I even saw the phone bill today.
Oh.
And, yeah, and incoming calls are free overseas.
Wow.
Cheaper than here, so that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Despite all the hassle that VoiceStream gave us, that's one good feature they have, the free international roaming. Which you pay through the nose when you make an outgoing call, but incoming calls are pretty much
freebies.
Pretty much up to the amount of time you have, and then when that time expires, well, that's
then you have
that's
to start paying.
Kind of the end of it. Yeah. Of course, I made the mistake of trying to add minutes, and midway through the billing cycle, they turned me off.
Whoops.
Yeah. So.
But you're back.
I'm back, and oh my God, what a time I had! What a time I had getting back.
Is that a good thing or okay?
This is a bad thing. This is a bad thing because I learned something about how the whole airline industry works. As you know, I got this whole airfare through Priceline,
right?
Which is fun. You know, I've always had good luck with Priceline. Always gotten a really low price. You know, which I guess is the point of the whole thing. And so I got this you know cut rate price to Amsterdam. Except the thing is. The thing is, hey, there's the cleaning lady. Hi, cleaning lady. That's my favorite cleaning lady. Basically, the flight was to Amsterdam, but it was through Brussels.
Okay.
You had to land in Brussels.
Did you stay on the plane? Did you have to transfer gates?
Well, that's the thing. You had to get off in Brussels and wait 5 hours for the next plane to Amsterdam, which is a 45-minute flight. Now, what do you think stupid me decided to do? I said, hey, instead of waiting 5 hours for a 45-minute flight, why not just take a 3-hour train ride? Wouldn't that make a lot of sense? Well, apparently, when you do that, you commit some sort of horrific crime against the airline industry. And what they do to you to get even or to get ahead even is to cancel all your remaining reservations. They just cancel them without telling you. And when I went to Brussels, yeah, I did it again. I didn't take the plane from Amsterdam to Brussels. I actually took a train to Brussels. I mean, I must be some kind of war crime or something to be able to do things like this. So I went to Brussels, and, you know, here I am at the line saying, okay, I'm ready to get on my plane. And they give me this look like, we don't know who you are. You're not on the reservation list.
Who are you?
They took your reservation away. And, so what they say, that's policy. That's policy of every airline, which is news to me because I've done this before.
Now, you've paid for the ticket.
Paid for the entire ticket.
And
through Priceline, though, so I'm not really a full person. I'm just kind of a half
person.
You're
a half person.
Right.
But you paid, regardless, you have a seat on that plane.
Well, no.
You just decided not to fill it.
I have a ticket.
You
I have
a ticket,
but I don't have a seat. That's the thing. So,
but theoretically, if you have the reservation, there will be a seat for you on that plane.
If you have a reservation,
right.
That's... except, okay, I took this airline.
If you don't take the airline, I'm not seeing a problem because they can then sell your seat and basically get double the price for the one empty seat.
Okay, the airline is Sabena. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're a Belgian airline.
Not really.
They're the Belgian airline. And apparently their policy is to overbook every single flight that they fly.
So they should still be happy with you.
Well, they weren't happy with me, I'll tell you that. And I wasn't happy with them. It was a mutual feeling there. They said this flight is tremendously overbooked. There's no chance in the world you'll get on it, but we'll put you on standby, except you're the lowest priority. If a dog walks in and needs to get on that plane, he's ahead of you. You know, because apparently I had pissed them off so much that they felt they had to do this to me. So, they put me on the very, very lowest priority, and of course I didn't get on that plane.
Oh, well.
And then I went to the... to the manager, I guess, of Sabena, whoever was on duty there, and I asked, okay, what do I have to do to get on a plane out of here? And she said, well, we're overbooked tomorrow, too. Here's the thing. They overbooked the flight that night, and then they asked for volunteers to get off the plane because it was overbooked, and then they booked
like
them on the
bucks.
Flight the next morning, which was also
overbooked.
So what did they expect these people to do? So, yeah, that flight was overbooked. And, you know, I was practically in tears. I'm like, how am I ever going to get out of this country? I make one mistake, which I didn't even know was a mistake, and I'm going to be on standby the rest of my life? Come on, this is ridiculous. So she agreed to give me a seat on the evening plane the next day. So I was stuck there for a full day. I tried for the morning flight, but, of course, I couldn't get on that either. But I had a seat on the evening flight, so everything was cool.
Cool. So you came into JFK, and I presume that was uneventful.
Where you got the impression that that's the end of the story?
Oh, I'm sorry.
When I said it was a hell ride, it was a hell ride.
We talking like problems in the air? Or?
No, not really. Not really. Basically, I got on the plane. You know, I had a seat. Okay. And this plane actually wasn't overbooked.
It was an empty seat, right?
It was an empty seat, okay. Except I was right near these toddlers, five-year-olds.
Oh,
5-year-olds who had just met each other. And they were chit-chattering away, you know, saying, I'm going to show you my house. I want to show you my house. Come visit me. Blah, 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 blah. It was fine. You know, for about 25 minutes, it was fine.
It was cute for like 30 seconds. And
after that, you know, I started to get a little bit annoyed because we were still on the ground. There wasn't any air flowing. For some reason, they decided not to turn on the air conditioning. And they made an announcement saying that they were looking for a passenger who hadn't gotten on the plane. Their baggage containing bombs and explosives was, you know, underneath in the baggage area. Well, that was what went through my mind when they say that. But, that's how they operate. They put their bag on and they leave and, you know, make people wait and all that kind of thing. So anyway, that was the first...
That's where the real terror comes in.
Yes, yeah. That was the first excuse. So, okay, we wait another 20 minutes, all right? And then there's an announcement saying that, we have to run a safety check now. We have to run some kind of technical safety check. It should be done in 5 minutes. Another 20 minutes go by. And keep in mind, all kinds of things are happening. Lights are going out and no air is flowing at any time. So they basically say, okay, we are having a problem with the computer. The computer. Having a problem with
the computer.
That makes me a little bit nervous, you know, because, you know, I work with computers and I know that, you know, a problem with the computer is not a good thing. So I say, we have a problem with the computer. We're working on it. Should be, hopefully, will be fixed in 10 minutes. 30 minutes go by. During this time, an argument breaks out between all the 5-year-olds. You know, apparently a new 5-year-old is like spitting on them or something like that. So they're literally calling themselves potty heads. All right, this is going on for a good 15 minutes. You're a potty head. I'm not a potty head. And you hear this guy, like in his 40s, saying, "Yeah, you are a potty head." Really upset because it, you know, people are starting to get frayed nerves here. So finally, they replace the computer. It fails. Two computers fail. Then they announce, after we've been on the plane almost 3 hours, that everything's working fine, no problem at all. We're about to take off in about 5 minutes. All the power goes out. And that's when
the PA no longer works, so they can't inform
you. You'd be amazed how the stewardesses completely disappeared. They just weren't around at all. You know, people were ringing those little bells over and over again, but they weren't around. I don't know where they hide. They weren't anywhere in sight.
They were gone.
Yeah, they know when to disappear. So at that point, about 50 passengers, myself included, decided that this wasn't good. And we had to either get some answers or get off that plane. A bunch of us just basically got off. And they tried to convince us to stay on. They said, everything's fine now. Everything's fine. In fact, I even have some audio here, which I'd like to play, assuming this machine works properly, of one of the technicians pleading with us to stay on the plane and explaining exactly what's wrong. In the terms that he can best explain. And I held up my phone in front of him as he was addressing all these beleaguered travelers.
So you recorded this on your voicemail?
It looked like a press conference. Yeah, I was holding a phone. And he was kind of freaked out by that as well. And then I called somebody in the States on their voicemail and recorded it there. I figured, you know, if this thing goes down, there should be some evidence someplace. In the meantime, while I was on the plane, I was sending email through my GSM phone of every single update. You know, okay, now the power is out. And now the 5-year-olds are, you know, hitting each other. Anyway, take a listen to this. I think you'll get a sense as to what the spirit was.
Okay. Friday, 4 p.m.
No problem. Okay?
Everybody is listening? Okay, you can...
There's no problem. Going out to the world.
Okay? There was only, when the aircraft come back from Narita, there was a little problem on the aircraft. There was just a problem on fuel indication. The fuel indication is given from two computers. We change now the both computers, but to change the both computers, we have to cut off the APU. The APU is a little engine on rear of the aircraft. Now, when I cut off the APU, somebody cut off the electrical power down of the aircraft. So everybody
in the dark. Even after things started working.
So now everything is okay, and the aircraft, yes, you can, the aircraft is fully operational.
Why it happens with that?
Because a new computer. And
because we are waiting for one computer coming from Zurich.
How do we get our tickets back that you've already picked up?
Okay, but
you can believe me, I signed on the aircraft that the aircraft is fully operational.
It can't come to us because I've seen it.
No, I signed that the aircraft, if you want, you can come in the country and check that all is okay. The I signed.
I don't know about you, Isaac, but
everything's all right. Everything's
that,
okay.
That did not instill me with a whole lot of confidence, and I don't think there was a single person there that decided to get on the plane after hearing that little pep speech there. But yeah, so the plane left without us. Now, I was lucky because I had carry-on. You know, I always go just carry-on. But there are people whose luggage made its way to New York, and they
had to catch up with it.
Yeah, they were pretty upset. But I wound up on a flight the next morning to Washington, D.C., of all places, because otherwise I would have had to wait another full day, and that flight was overbooked, of course. But I made it to Washington, D.C., and boy, I got to tell you, I thought going to D.C. might be might make things just a little bit different, but no, it didn't. It really didn't. It basically, you know, going through customs, they did it yet again.
What?
The whole searching thing.
Oh, they pulled you out and they swabbed your computer and everything?
Well, they didn't swab my computer, no. Here's the thing. The guy, you know, the guy was nice. The guy was really nice.
Actually, wait a second. You're coming into the country
Into the
now?
Country, yeah. That's how you get
so,
back here.
So you came off the
plane.
Supposedly secure area that is the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're entering Washington, D.C., and they're making sure you're not carrying any weapons.
Well, no. They basically... We've been through this 100 times. Yeah. I've been through this 100 times. Well, basically, you have to go through customs.
Oh, the customs guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And,
yeah.
And I got pulled aside. And the guy is really friendly. At first, I thought he was just making conversation, talking about computers and talking about, you know, I publish a magazine, you know, I work in radio. And, you know, I was like, oh, I can never figure those computers out, blah, blah, blah. You know, the usual speech. Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, it's really not that difficult. All you have to do is, you know, mess around with them. Don't take a course. It's a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. Then I noticed the guy's like putting on rubber gloves. And I'm like, this is odd. This
is a bad sign.
This
yes.
is not doesn't bode well. So I keep talking, you know, I keep on the conversation. But it takes a really bizarre twist because, you know, as he continues the pleasantries, he's going through all my stuff.
Snapping the latex.
He's examining my underwear. He's going through like everything in my bags, you know, and it's like. It's really upsetting to me because how many times do I have to go through this nonsense? How many times? Obviously, something came up on their computer when I went through. I mean, you know, I've been searched, more than half a dozen times now coming into this country. They've never found anything of interest except for some electronic things they didn't understand, which they probably would never be able to understand. But basically, you know, of all the people on the airplane, I'm the only person that happened to. And, you know, I really think I'm entitled to some explanation now as to why this continual harassment every time I come into the country. Almost every time I come into the country. At least I feel like, you know, it's about to happen. You know, and that's enough to really make you kind of
They can smell your fear, man.
But I wasn't afraid. I just wanted to get into the damn country, you know, get it over with. And then I had to take a train all the way from, you know, from D.C. to here. You know, it was just the beginning of my trip. And I got to tell you, after spending about 6 weeks in Europe on trains there, it really makes a big difference when you hop on something here. It feels like it's going to fall right off the track. Over there, I don't know how you do it differently. I really don't. But how do you put rails into the ground and make it feel better? There must be a method that we don't know. I mean, you know, Amtrak is basically the best we have. It really is. I mean, you know, if you ever ride the LIRR or Metro North, you know that. So, I don't know, I was hoping it would be, and of course they were late, too. They were completely, you know, not on time, which was annoying, since I had to catch another train, and I just barely made it. I don't know.
So you got into Penn Station?
Yeah, Penn Station.
With your carry-ons, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I was going all throughout the country on a whirlwind tour. But, you know, I got back, and it was worth it, I guess.
All right.
It was a hassle, though, it really was. So it takes getting used to. You know, when you're back in this country, I can already feel the effect on me. I can already feel the effect. You got somewhere to be?
No, I'm just...
You're looking at your watch like you got somewhere to be.
I can't see
the
If
you have
clock.
To go someplace, feel free. Just
I'm not going
go
anywhere.
On, no problem. Don't want to keep you away from your pressing needs. Am I supposed to beg for money now? Is that the deal?
Well, you just mentioned the number and
okay,
say...
212-209-2950 is the phone number if you want to pledge. And we have one pledge so far, and it's one of our own people. I can't believe this. Oh, boy. Our people are too dedicated. Too dedicated. Yes. This is ridiculous, man.
At any rate.
But, yeah, I encourage it. 212-209-2950. I'll tell you. Going... Okay, go ahead. Give the spiel.
I'll give the spiel. It's a $50 membership. $25 if you're a student or a senior or you're in difficult straits so far as money's concerned. 212-209-2950. We take credit cards and checks.
We don't take credit cards.
Yes, we do. We don't take them away from you and then do
we
weird
listen
things.
As you read us the little numbers, right, and then we plug them into a computer and money comes to us somehow. I don't know how it works.
But that's the preferred method.
Your credit card.
It's the preferred method because the money can start working immediately.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's the end of the spiel.
And MasterCard and Visa get a nice little commission, and the economy keeps going strong as a result of that.
We also take Amex.
Amex, too.
Yeah.
What about Discover?
I don't know. I think we do. Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't if we take the other three.
But speaking of being hard up, you know, I'm used to people asking for money in the train. You know, and I had that happen in Europe, too, although mostly in Paris, mostly in London, not in other places. But Washington, D.C. is the first place that had ever happened to me where it was an employee of the Metro begging for money. Can you believe that?
What?
I was on the platform, and this person comes up in the reflectors and the Washington Metro, like, thing, and I thought he was telling me to be on a different track or something, but instead he's like, can you spare some change? You've got to be kidding. What kind of a country do you have a job and you still are compelled to beg for money? What?
Well, he's just going to put the quarter on the track for his kid. You know,
I was amazed. I was almost like, you know, in some state where I was traveling for a long period of time. Maybe I just hallucinated the whole thing, but I really don't think so. That's too much imagination for even me.
That's really strange.
Yeah, it is. But like I'm saying, I feel a certain kind of malaise coming over me. Maybe it's jet lag. Maybe it's, the traveling. But, you know, I got here a few days ago. You know, the whole thing where you put things off, you don't do things right away, where you say, oh, I can do this tomorrow, I can do this next week. When I'm in Europe, I'm doing a lot more. You know, I'm always going someplace, getting something done, exploring. And when I get back here, I just feel like it's, you know, doesn't really matter as much.
Well, it's the end of the adventure. I mean, you had that whole thing kind of, well, obviously not entirely planned because you're not the sort to put out an itinerary. But you were away. You were in someplace new. It was a big adventure. Now you're back home in familiar surroundings, and you just kind of have to do the daily grind.
Yeah, except there's more to it than that. I mean, there's the whole being barraged by garbage all the time. Which I guess we get used to when we're here. And when you go away, when you go someplace else, you realize how much garbage you're barraged with on a daily basis. Just, you know, commercials, for instance. Commercials all the time hitting you, you know? And that's something here at the radio station, obviously, that we don't believe in. We don't believe in commercials because we operate commercial-free. That's why we ask for money. That's why you should call, 212-209-2950.
Nice segue.
Yes, but just the differences. Okay, let me talk about the difference in news, for instance.
Okay.
I was away for 6 weeks, and during that period, I was able to, you know, catch up on what was going on in the world by either reading the International Herald Tribune, which is basically a newspaper that comes out, takes headlines from the Times and Washington Post, and also its own reporters, and also watching BBC World, which is their 24-hour news service. Well, okay, when I was over there, I was able to see all kinds of stories about what was going on in places like Macedonia. I was able to read about the horrors.
Massa who?
Yeah, exactly. The horrors in Zimbabwe.
What horrors?
See, exactly. Here, I get back, and the name I hear for the first time in 6 weeks is Gary Condit. Did not hear that name once. Not once the whole time I was away was anybody. Nobody cares in the rest of the world. But you know what? When I get back here, the headlines...
Wall-to-wall Condit,
Gary Condit, Powerball, and the stock market. You know, that's all anybody ever talks about.
You forgot the Little League World Series, especially here in New York.
Yeah, I heard about that, too. I heard about that, too. Not a word about anything else going on in the rest of the world, you know? And it's, you know, I don't think Americans are stupid. I don't think we are. I don't think we don't care about this kind of stuff, but how do you get it? How do you get this information if it's not given to you in some form? You know, that's...
Well, it's not going to be given to you. You have to go out and find it. You have to find the sources of information that make the broadcasts that you won't hear anywhere else.
Today on CNN Headline News, the top story was not the fact that that singer died in the plane crash, but the fact that there was a retrospective tonight on VH1. That's the headline.
The headline is promo. That there's a respect.
Yeah. And, of course, CNN is owned by the same people now, which I guess makes sense. So you got to expect that kind of thing. But there's no news anymore. There's no news. There's this absurd fascination with sports and business and everything except news. You know, they redid the CNN Headline News channel so that it would be more streamlined, you know, faster. It's like a 10-second story isn't fast enough. It's got to be 3 seconds now. You know, they want more emphasis on entertainment. Yeah, less emphasis on news. You know, never mind, it's called a news channel. No, we need more entertainment because that way you get more viewers, you know? Why not just air Baywatch instead? You'll get a lot more viewers then.
Well, they run Baywatch opposite CNN Headline News.
It's ridiculous. It really is. So what I want everybody to do, everybody listening, do this. And believe me, you'll be happy if it works. Call your cable company. Call your satellite provider. Call whoever it is you need to call and ask for BBC World because that's a channel that every other country gets. They get it in Canada. We don't get it anywhere here in this country. And what you get there, you get... Well, actually, some PBS stations carry a half hour over the day, if you can find when that is.
Well, they also have ITN, which is
That's another British channel.
That's pretty good.
I haven't seen that in a while. But by asking for that, you'll actually get world news, real world news. Why is that such a bad thing for us? You know, why is that such a bad thing to actually know what's going on in the rest of the world? You know, sometimes I think the people in charge are afraid of an educated populace, you know?
And so we stumble into one of the great truths of modern America.
Yeah.
But let's avoid that before the jackbooted thugs come jumping out of the black helicopters to take us away.
I don't know. It was very frustrating just trying to find out what's going on in the world, knowing that there is a world out there to find out about and not
You
being
were
able,
in it.
I was in it. I was in it, and I can't find it. I have to go on the web and you know, explore. But, you know, a lot of people don't have access. How do they get this information? And I think if we heard more from the rest of the world, we'd actually... take more of an interest, see our own role in it, and, you know, act accordingly. You know, not think that the whole world revolves around us, which it doesn't. All right, so what did I miss? What's been going on around here that...
Well, I've been filling in for the daytime engineer.
Yeah, you were on all day again today.
Isn't that frightening?
Wow.
For the past week, I've been doing a noon to 8 shift here at the station.
How long is this going to be going on for?
He's supposed to get back on Friday, so... Mm-hmm. Just the end of this week.
Okay.
That'll be it. Unless people really like me and demand that, I introduce shows at the top of the hour.
Are you saying that if people really demand something here, something's going to happen?
Well, if it involves me, it'll happen. Yeah,
I'd like to see that happen, but...
All right, well, I stepped into that one. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. I didn't see any demonstrators outside. What's up with that? I thought there were going to be demonstrators.
It's late.
It's 8:30 at night.
Yeah, it's late.
I thought it was a 24-hour round-the-clock vigil.
I don't know.
I was looking forward to talking to some people down there.
Oh, well, last week there it turns out it's a monthly event that I found out from Fred.
Mm-hmm.
They had this little carnival thing in this area of Wall Street.
Right.
It's kind of nice. If you haven't been here, folks, it's kind of like this trapezoid. It's got parking in the middle and everything. They set up booths on both sides, and they had funnel cakes and the whole nine yards. And I walked up about 5 minutes before I was supposed to go on the air because I was having so much fun downstairs.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of my highlight.
It's not about fun, Isaac.
It's not about fun?
It's not about fun at all.
It's about oddly shaped socks.
Hard work. It's about, you know, no pay or little pay or whatever.
Little pay.
And no gratitude. That's what it's about.
The people carnival?
People forgetting the theme song. That's what it's about.
What do you want from me besides the theme song?
The theme song would be nice. Okay, we have a hearing coming up on Thursday the 30th.
What
I believe that's in 2 days. That's for our friend Dimitris. I still, don't know how to pronounce his name.
Skolarov.
I can't say it, even if I do know how to pronounce it. But in any event, the hearing for the 23rd last Thursday was postponed until this Thursday. It's taking place 9:30 a.m. Sorry, in San Jose. If you want to go and get more information on that, the website is www.freeskolarov.org. It's spelled freeskolyarov.org. And there'll be demonstrations in San Jose, New York, Boston, and other places as well. So that story is certainly been one of the major points of this summer. Which
that's rolling its way through.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I actually attended his talk at DEF CON.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting.
Did you warn him that he was going to get in a lot of trouble for saying those things?
I warned him about something else that probably is going to get him into more trouble, but not talking.
You're saying there's more, huh?
Well, no, I don't exactly want to give it away until he's safely into,
You have more evidence against this guy, don't you?
Well, I have the actual violation he could be guilty of as opposed to just walking into the country and talking.
Uh-huh. All right, well...
But we'll ignore that for the moment.
Yeah, why don't we just pass over that for a little while and talk about Borders Books. You heard about this?
What about Borders Books?
Well, Borders Books, basically, apparently, according to a newspaper in Scotland, the Sunday Herald.
In Scotland.
They were to become the first retailer in the world to introduce a controversial security scheme normally used to trap football hooligans, pedophiles, and terrorists to photograph customers as they enter stores.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. SmartFace, which is known as Faceit in the USA, keeps a database of unique digital face maps that will check customers' pictures against those of known shoplifters. That's right. The American-based retailer has 11 outlets in the UK, including stores in Glasgow and Edinburgh. But only UK stores are participating in the SmartFace pilot. Now, of course, this led to all kinds of controversy. Borders has already been criticized in the UK for its attitude to unions. Marketing itself as laid-back and hip, it has been accused of operating a vigorous anti-union policy. In America, the company used the union-busting legal firm Jackson Lewis Schnitzler and Krupman to fight bitter campaigns to destabilize unions. This included sacking activists and threatening to close stores if workers joined unions. And the SmartFace technology is manufactured by Visionix, a major player in American surveillance technology. It is used by the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service to check for illegal immigrants trying to cross the Mexican border, by the Israeli army on the Gaza Strip, and at Iceland's Keflavik Airport to seek out known terrorists. The U.S. Army Research Laboratory ranked the technology top of their list of face recognition systems. Well, what happened after that? That story came out. This story came out yesterday. Book shoppers in London can breathe easier. Big Brother isn't lurking behind the shelves, not yet anyway. Bookstore chain Borders has temporarily suspended a trial plan to implement face recognition software in two stores in the city, pending a review of legal and human rights issues. The software, sold by Minnetonka, Minnesota-based Visionix Corporation, fights shoplifting by constantly comparing images of shoppers captured by a store video camera against a police database of known criminals, according to information on their website. And if no match is found, the images are then discarded, according to them. The growing use of face scanning technology for crime control in the UK has run up against citizens' criticism from privacy and human rights advocates. We suspended any plans to implement it until we can confirm what's going on with Dechtel and the human rights issues that have been raised. And even then, we may decide it's in the best interest of our customers not to go ahead with the trial. Spokesman Visionix did not immediately return phone calls seeking comment. So you see, this technology is starting to be used in all kinds of different places now.
I'm wondering how it's a human rights violation. I mean, you're walking into a public store, they're taking your photo, and I mean, they're comparing it against a database. What's the big deal?
Well, it's a privacy violation. It's basically taking your picture and either entering it into a database or comparing it against some other database, and God forbid you happen to come close to somebody in that database. Imagine what can happen, you know, if you're not an exact match.
But you walk into a 7-Eleven, you're obviously on a camera.
You're on a camera, and if something happens, then they look at that camera. Okay, but...
Well, I'd say that's a lot more distressful. I mean, you know that you're going to be on that tape for at least 30 days, as opposed to this system where you're supposedly just captured and then released.
I think maybe you summed it up just by saying that. But basically, by having your face entered and compared to a database, I think that's what people are objecting to, that it's intrusive. Just the fact that such a database exists in the first place, and how does that database compile? You know, how do they get all these faces to start with? You know,
driver's license?
I don't know.
Which is a separate story we reported previously.
I find that the people that do this the most are the ones who object to it the most. So if you go up to a cop and take his picture, he's not going to like it. I've noticed that. I really have. They don't like it at all. If you go up to somebody in a bookstore that's operating one of these things and take their picture and store it someplace, they don't like that either. So I think many times you use the same kind of tactics against them.
Fighting fire with fire. Eh?
Exactly. Exactly. And kind of sends a message. So, that's frightening. Every week we seem to know a little bit more about what these cameras are being used for and where they're being implemented. It's really getting silly. I mean, I think the whole society is kind of getting obsessed with monitoring, with keeping track of where people are at all times.
Well, that comes with the lack of respect and trust between individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, people like to think back to the days where their front doors were open because you knew your neighbors, you trusted them not to break in or take your lawnmower. You'd loan them your lawnmower, no, they wouldn't destroy it, or they'll bring it back in good or better condition than when you left it.
Yeah, but this is public streets. You know, this is not your house. This is walking around the street, being surveilled, being kept track of.
But it's evidence of the same kind of decay in mutual trust.
Except it's not citizens doing it. It's the authorities doing it. It's the establishments, the corporations doing this. You know, the individuals. Yeah, individuals go around occasionally surreptitiously recording things, and. You know, sometimes they get some interesting stuff when they do that, but unfortunately, it seems to be more and more the rule rather than the exception in our everyday life. If you think I'm making a veiled reference to this place, I'm not. I'm making a very direct reference. It's just unbelievable the things that are going on. What else? I got a couple of letters. Actually, I got a few phone calls while I was away, too. For some reason, the telemarketers could always get through to me. You know, I had a phone forwarding to my GSM line.
Oh, I recall not, you know, I would just talk to you before the program,
mm-hmm.
and then I try to call back 5 minutes before air, and I'll get, this phone does not accept international calls. And I just talked to him.
Yeah.
And he's on the air.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah, it was pretty insane for me, too. But
the telemarketers got through.
MCI got through with a terrific offer, and I said, look, put me on your do not call list. Don't ever call me again. They called me the next day. Okay, so what do I do now?
To verify that you should be on the do not call list?
Basically, that seems to be the solution. Yeah, put somebody on the do not call list. Okay, you say that, and then they call. What do you do then? You know, no one seems to have an answer for that. A notice from MCI. We appreciate your business and strive to ensure you always have the latest information about MCI services. This letter will tell you about a change you may soon see on your telephone bill if you make international calls to mobile phones and pagers. Recently, some overseas telephone companies that connect your calls to mobile phones and pagers abroad have significantly increased the cost of these calls, and regrettably, MCI will have to increase its charges for these calls to cover the higher costs. Yeah, and there's a whole list on the back of countries and city codes now that are affected by this. Apparently, when you call a mobile phone overseas, you'll be paying more.
The extra charge for connecting to the
mobile. A surcharge, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, why is it different to call something that's wireless as opposed to calling something that's got wires? Why is it more expensive?
From a technical standpoint, it probably shouldn't be. I mean, granted, you're talking about network capacity and things like that.
Wires are finite, yeah. Right? Aren't they? I mean, yeah, you could say, you know, the frequencies are finite too, but wires are definitely finite. So, I could see putting a surcharge on for using a wire charge, perhaps.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, here's something else from Sprint. Dear valued Sprint customer. You know, I don't think I am a Sprint customer.
Sprint PCS or Sprint long distance?
No, this is Sprint. I don't think I am a Sprint customer, okay. But they think I am. As we have previously notified you, and they never did, of course, there is a recent change in federal law regarding long-distance companies and their customers that you should be aware of. Rest assured that your current Sprint service will not change. I guess I will remain not a customer.
So why the letter?
And there's nothing you need to do. I love letters like this. Yeah. In the past, all long-distance companies were required to file their rates, terms, and conditions for long-distance services with the Federal Communications Commission, FCC. However, beginning August 1st, 2001, Sprint and other long-distance companies will no longer be able to file their state-to-state long-distance rates and conditions with the FCC.
They won't be able to do it.
Instead, we'll
they
be...
They got the papers in the hand, and they walk up to the door, and the door just won't open?
The way they're phrasing this, they make it sound like there's some kind of law preventing them from filing their rates with the FCC. Instead, we will be required to post them on our websites. For the convenience of our customers, Sprint will begin posting our international long-distance rates as well. This means it will be easier for you to get the most current version of the rates, terms, and conditions being provided to you. To that end, we're enclosing a booklet, blah, blah, blah. Here's my question. What happens to those people that don't have Internet access?
They're
saying that we're no longer able to post our rates with the FCC. What kind of bizarre law is that, you know, that you can't actually post the rates with the regulatory commission, but instead you have to go to the website?
I imagine they'll be listed in telephone ad, like the yellow pages and the mm-hmm. white pages or something like that.
Yeah.
Or if you call them up and ask them, hey, how much is this going to cost, they'll probably tell you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You've been handed a magic
card. I want to thank Roydell from Jamaica for his call. 212-209-2950 is
the
pledge line.
We got a pledge from Jamaica and no one from the city of New York?
Well, Jamaica is in New York.
Oh, that Jamaica. Okay, I'm sorry.
You're from the area, Isaac. You have no excuse. We also want to thank Junes for his valuable contributions of many sorts. And yeah, please give a call, 212-209-2950. And I feel I should stress at this point, you know, when I was traveling around, I learned a lot about various things. I learned a lot about people who have courage, people who express themselves. I went to a museum in Norway, the Resistance Museum. And what this was about was the small but spirited resistance movement during World War II. A tribute to the people that kept that going for a vital period of time while all kinds of battles were being fought. It makes me wonder, how do people react to stress, to challenge, to difficult situations? There was a person there during that time whose name was Quisling. That's a word we've heard a lot around here recently. But basically, I didn't know this was a real person until I went to the museum. Quisling was the ruler of Norway during World War II that was put there at the behest of the Nazis. Now, he was somebody who was Norwegian. You know, he was in the country, and he was one of the Norwegians, but he decided to play along and, you know, go with the side that was winning and do their dirty work for them in the hopes that it would advance his career. And, of course, it didn't work.
Yeah, that whole, you know, losing World War II thing.
Well, it didn't work before that because there was such popular resistance to somebody who would sell out his own people. Hmm. But he did succeed in getting a word in the dictionary named after him, Quisling.
But does he have his picture there?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
But it was inspiring to see a monument to the people that actually, you know, died for freedom, really died for freedom. I don't think we realize what that's all about a lot of times. We talk about it. But when push comes to shove, how many of us actually stand up and say something? I've seen many, many times, you know, people in high schools are being challenged by their administrators. You know, they're playing with computers and they learn something they're not supposed to learn, or they tell somebody something they're not supposed to tell them, and you know, they're basically intimidated. You know, and do they keep quiet, or do they actually speak out and you know, risk getting you know, called into the principal's office or suspended or kicked out of school or worse, who knows? You know, we see all kinds of things these days where people are threatened with you know, jail time for figuring out how to get down to a DOS prompt in on the school computer. You know, we see people threatened for putting out publications inside schools. So it's,
or outside schools.
That's
satellite
true too.
Watch news.
That's right. That's right. People who speak up, they face a lot. They really do. They face all kinds of ramifications. But that's what speaking up is all about. That's why I have a lot of respect for people who speak up, regardless of whether I agree with them, regardless of whether, you know, it's something of a national focus or something local. It's something I think we all have the obligation to do. And nowhere have I seen that more than here at BAI. I've seen people speaking out over the years for all kinds of different things, most recently for BAI itself. And I respect that. I respect people who have the courage to stand up and be counted no matter what the cost is. And, you know, we talk about a lot of controversial things on this radio station. It's important to keep that going. Also, it's important to realize that there is no program on this station that is bigger than the station itself. And what I mean by that is that if the station is not here, then we don't have a voice, period. And that's why, despite all the things that are going on, I know a lot of people are upset by things that have been happening. You can count me as one of them. But if we don't have the forum to communicate and to work things out, and we do have to work things out, there's no question about that. Coming back after all this and hearing all the latest things that are going on, I won't go into details because we're running out of time, and you can find them certainly on the web. It just makes me realize that you know, we've got to figure out our problems. We've got to address them in an open forum, and we have to think of each other as human beings, not as enemies, not as you know, barriers, but human beings. And once you do that, once you actually realize that you're dealing with people, you can try and bridge that gap. And a lot of gaps that need to be bridged around here. But the point is, we're not going to bridge any gaps if we don't have a place to do it in. You know, and that's vital. So keep the place going. Call us up, 212-209-2950. And pledge, what is it, $50 for a membership?
$50 for membership, $25 if you're kind of thin in the wallet or if you're on Social Security or you're a student or...
Yeah.
Kind of hardship. But.
Yeah. It does make a difference. It really does. The point is, if this place isn't here, then obviously there won't be any need to pledge. But the place is here, and while you're here, while we're here, let's keep it going so that we have a chance of making things work out in a positive way. That's really the best way I can phrase it.
The way to do it.
All right, let's take some phone calls here in the studio, 212-209-2900, but keep the pledge lines ringing as well. And if I sound kind of out of it, it's because I am kind of out of it. And I don't know when the jet lag goes away, or maybe it's just the American malaise I'm feeling as I settle back into daily routine.
You're getting back from a vacation, you're settling back into where you belong.
And plus it's 85 degrees outside and inside,
yeah,
which doesn't help very
it's
much.
It's been kind of muggy, too. It's not.
Thanks to Mike of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for his call.
Very nice.
Let's hear from some Europeans out there, too. I spent enough time praising that continent.
Yeah,
so,
come
let's,
on. Let's, you owe us.
Have some phone calls. All right, let's take some phone calls now. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. And let's go over here. Take that one off. Good evening. You're on the air.
Emmanuel.
Well, it's Emmanuel, but yeah, go ahead.
Eric, yeah, this is Eric also. Listen, man, the laws of synchronicity are in full effect. I've been ringing since the show began just to tell you what a total quizzling Isaac has become in the last week.
let's not have personal attacks here.
I'm telling
well,
you.
Well, I'm here. I'll take it.
Okay. All right. He wants your personal attack. Go ahead. Attack him. You defend yourself. Let's go.
I don't need to be attacking him.
No, that's what I'm interested
where he's
in.
At, man. He's like hanging up on people when the first moment that they have a little bit of dissent in.
You
know,
hang up on people
bad,
on this show?
No, on other shows.
Wait, what other shows do you have, Isaac?
I don't
this
do
last
it. Well,
week he's been engineering for
well, I've been
Hugh Hamilton. He's been engineering
yeah.
for Gary No.
Well, yeah, but
he's been hanging up on people. And
that's
been
hang on. The engineer, doesn't decide when to hang up on people.
Precisely.
The producer decides when to hang up on people.
That's at the direction of the producer.
I just want to tell you because you've been away.
Uh huh.
I'm not. I got no axe to grind.
Okay.
I'm one of these people. I listen to the station 24 hours,
mm-hmm.
except when I'm asleep. But
are
I leave
you a member?
Radio on at night too. I've been a member for like 20 years.
Okay,
God
well, listen,
you,
we do need your support. We need you to keep us honest as well. And you know, if the people were outside, I'd be thanking them now. But there's no people outside, so I can't thank them. But I think it's really, you know, I don't know how it feels to walk in and you know see people outside demonstrating because it hasn't happened because I've been away for 6 weeks. But I would imagine if they're there for the station, then that's a good
they're
thing.
They're there for the station.
All right, so. Well, maybe next week, we'll see. Hanging up on people, huh?
It's at the direction of the producer.
Uh-huh.
I'm just filling a role.
All right. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I think you can agree that despite all your travel troubles,
mm-hmm.
A bunch of you guys from New York going to DEF CON last year had a little more fun.
Yes. Yes, that was the... you were referring then to the...
hijacking.
The hijacking, yeah.
Well, that was only one of us...
That was Delchai.
I probably would have preferred to have been on that plane.
For those who weren't aware, basically we had this fellow on who was on a flight. There's actually a corollary to this story, but I won't go into that.
We don't have time for corollaries.
I understand. This fellow basically runs onto the plane,
mm-hmm.
Runs into the cockpit, and says, "I'm taking control of this plane." And
it wasn't Delchai either.
It wasn't Delchai. No,
make
this
that
was,
clear
this was
right off the bat.
Some very crazy, strange man. At which point the stewardess said, "Everyone just remain in your seat and we'll take care of this."
Yeah, and they tried to lock people in,
and they tried to close the door, at which point Delchai said, "I will have none of this." And Delchai is a very large gentleman, and
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of inertia going on there. So he was basically first out the door, and the entire aircraft followed him.
You can hear that entire exciting episode on
in our archive.
On the archive mm-hmm.
www.2600.com/offthehook.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that brings up a matter that I want to deal with. I want to take care of this right now.
What did I do now?
You didn't do anything.
Oh,
you didn't
okay.
do anything. But somebody else did something, and I want to deal with it right now. All right. You got a dial tone there? Thank you. Well, this isn't going well, is it?
Yeah, yeah. Is this some kind of late night desk you're trying to call now? Or?
No, it's actually something that should be answering.
Hmm.
All right. Well, you know what? Next week
we'll do
it. You can find out what this ring is all about. And
there's something behind that ring.
There's something behind that ring.
We'll have to open
that
door.
The mystery ring, and you'll know what that's all about. Mm. That's on next week's show. A little preview there for you.
Look forward to it.
All right, let's take another phone call. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Emmanuel. I am so glad to hear you're back.
Yeah, I'm glad I made it too. I almost didn't think I was going to make it for a while.
You know, I was afraid. I was listening to last week's show, and I was just praying. Oh gosh, I hope Emmanuel isn't health actioned. Based on who was hosting your show. I mean, the show, excuse me.
Well,
the show last week.
I think we owe Isaac some thanks for his hard work.
I wasn't hosting. I just kind of sat in the chair.
Uh-huh. Whatever. Anyway, I'm just glad you're back, Emmanuel.
Well, I'm
and
glad the listeners
you
were
not
are there.
In any way.
I'm glad the listeners are there, and hopefully we'll have many
and
weeks
the
together.
And the visual isn't there because there was a thing earlier today.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, there was a thing earlier today. That's right.
There was a thing earlier, and then there's a thing tonight.
How did the thing earlier go?
From what I understood, there were like over 100 folks at the thing earlier.
Uh-huh.
Actually,
and
I think it was like 150.
That's a pretty big thing.
And tonight's thing
and
is?
And there was a national thing.
Oh, a national thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
And tonight, the thing is a comedy thing.
How come there's always things going on Tuesdays?
You tell me.
Well, if there's a thing going on some other day, please let us know. And, of course, you can catch up on all the things on all the various websites like, say, Pacifica.net, yeah. WBAI.net, PacificaCampaign.org, and occasionally WBAI.org. So,
good night.
Thanks for calling. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please. All right, well, you have to talk. You can't just click the phone. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Wales.
Wales?
Yeah.
Whoa.
A European. Woohoo!
The country with no vowels. That's great. Wow. You listen to us often in Wales?
Yeah, I listen to it every week on the net.
Wow, that's great. That's really nice. Well, you have a very nice country. I haven't been there this trip, but I've been through it a couple of times.
Yeah.
That's really nice. So what goes on over there?
Not much.
Well, I wish we had more time to talk to you about the various things that happen over there, such as, well, how is your internet connectivity, I guess, is probably the question that I should ask.
Not good.
Not good.
No, problems with the telephone companies.
Uh-huh. Mm. Well, yeah. I think we could all identify with that.
Well, that's BT for you.
Yeah. Well, it's not just BT anymore.
Well, it's NTL, I've got you.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
It's all kinds of different companies there now.
Okay. Yeah.
But, well, listen, say hi to everybody in Wales for us, and keep on listening.
Hello, treasure in Wales, then.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. And thanks for supporting us too. And again, if you want to support us, I can't stress enough, and I mean this. So there's nobody standing over me with a gun. There, you know. No. I believe that the best way to keep this place going is to keep this place going. And then we have a chance. 212-209-2950. Please give a call. $50 pledge. Nothing fancy. Nothing special. We just need more members, and you can be part of that. Very simple. 212-209-2950. Our time is just about up. Our time is up, in fact. So I want to thank people for calling, for their support. I want to thank people for the support as the show is going on over the last few weeks. I want to thank Isaac for being here all that time. And
hey,
hopefully,
no
Isaac,
problem.
You'll bring the theme in next week. And we can
I'll
have a
bring the theme.
Regular show.
I'm sorry.
Next week, of course, we'll explore what that mystery ring was all about.
I want to know now.
Yeah.
Now you got me interested.
And we'll have all kinds of other exciting features and a report on the various demonstrations that take place this Thursday. And Mike will be back next week, too, from his travels. So we'll be able
Which
to...
Which Mike?
Mike from Columbia.
Okay.
He'll be back at Columbia, so he'll give us updates.
Michael G. during the day will be back, too.
We'll see you next week.
Welcome home.
What's a thousand shades of gray, a beauty on the scene by day? For thunder by pigeons fly where I feel okay. London Bridge falling down, they're taking bits from all around. Kidney dollars, I don't want pounds. London Bridge falling down, but I still love this town. From the top to the underground. Now Rome is wrong, but it ain't home, and neither is Paris. Wherever I've been, all that I see, this is home to me.
This is Gil Scott here, an unknown bluesologist, speaking to you on Free Speech Radio, WBAI 99.5 on your radio dial. Stay here.
This is Phil Lesh of the Grateful Dead, and you're listening to WBAI FM New York City 99.5.
Make a difference. And it's not a small thing that's happening there, and I'm very happy to see it happen.
That was Neil Adams speaking on an early episode of Nuff Said. To hear thought-provoking and entertaining discussion on the subject of comics, tune in every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. for Nuff Said here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And visit our website, nuffsaid.net, for our upcoming schedule of guests. See you there.
Yes, indeed. Only at WBAI can you get cuts that start in the middle. Yeah, no, this one doesn't play at all. Hey, Isaac. Isaac left, huh? So, Emmanuel, what's up, man?
Oh, not a lot. Just hanging out, you know.
Yeah? Hey, here it comes now. Let me see what...